Good afternoon. Good to see you all here today. Well, going back a few years, I was at ABC, and we took a class. It was called The Fundamentals of Theology, and we had this class with Dr. Ward. And he gave us an assignment. It was kind of interesting. He asked us to write some syllogisms. I heard this word, and I was like, a syllogism? What exactly is this? This sounds kind of crazy. But it's actually a form of logic. It's a form of deductive reasoning. Basically, you take a major premise and a minor premise, and then based on those things, you form a logical conclusion. So a few examples of these would be as follows. We are commanded to keep God's commandments. The Sabbath is one of those commandments. Therefore, we should keep the Sabbath. I think we can all agree with that. It makes sense. We're all here. We're keeping the Sabbath. Another one would be that Christ died for our sins. I have sinned. Therefore, Christ died for me. I think you can start to see how these start to work. Let's do one more here. In Exodus, it says that God commands us not to make images in the likeness of heaven, earth above, or heaven above, earth beneath, or the waters below. These are all realistic images, so therefore, God has to be a huge, huge fan of abstract art. All right, that I know was bad little joke there, but it actually gets me started on what I wanted to talk about today, and that is the idea of God being the master artist, and you and I, being his masterpieces. As many of you know, art is a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. I studied art in the East Coast for several years, and I now work in the graphic design industry, and it's just something that has consumed quite a bit of my life, and I think it's very interesting to look at the connections between art and God and our relationship with God. So I hope by taking a look at some of these points, we can gain some faith, some confidence, and some comfort knowing that God is that master artist working in our lives. So the first thing we have to do when talking about this subject is establish God as that artist. To me, this really isn't that hard. You know, all we have to do is really just look around. We live in an absolutely beautiful part of the world. We live in the Pacific Northwest here. We all had a beautiful drive over here. I'm sure some of us crossed some lakes. We saw mountains. We saw trees. You know, we can just look outside. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, we can see that. That's God's creation. Those are things he created. We can just simply look around this room. Look at each other around here. We have all these amazing people, and we are all God's creation. We're all beautiful, complex, different, unique individuals. And again, that's all God's creation. So we can start to see with our own eyes, you know, just that God is creator. But let's see what we can find in the scriptures as well. You know, we can look in the end of Job. There's some beautiful, very poetic words that where God is speaking to Job, talking about how he created the earth and the things that he created. But another place that I want to turn to is in Jeremiah. I think it might be a little bit more appropriate. So let's turn over to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. We have an interesting analogy here. Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through 6, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and a vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this the potter?' says the Lord. 'Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.'" So we see God being the potter, being the artist, the one that is sculpting the clay, the one that's creating this vessel. Now, I've spent some time working on the wheel, some pottery, but it was never my major focus. So I kind of like to extrapolate this a little bit more and take it to the idea of painting. It's something that I'm a bit more interested in, and I think there's a very interesting analogy there as well. So we're going to talk about the whole process of painting. There's a very interesting relationship that happens with the artist and the canvas. Now, the first thing you have to do is prepare your canvas. And there's a lot of things that go into this. First of all, what kind of surface are you going to paint on? There's many options. You can paint on canvas, you can paint on linen, you can paint on paper, wood, masonite, rocks, you can paint on anything, right? Each surface has its own strengths, its own weaknesses. And that choice is generally made for a very, very specific reason. It's a very deliberate decision. It isn't random. The same is true for us. Each one of us is different. We each have our own strengths, our own weaknesses, and when God picks us, or rather, when he calls us, it's done for a reason. He wants us to be part of his family. It isn't random. Now, Canvas is pretty commonplace, so let's just continue on with this. Now, how many of you, anybody stretched a canvas here before? Anybody? Okay, we have a few hands out there. It's a pretty interesting process. It's not something that's really simple. Basically, you have to go, you cut out your canvas, and before that, you take your frames, and you have to put them together, get those strong 90-degree angles so you have a good square or rectangular shape, and then you take your canvas, and you staple it on one side, and you stretch it as tight as you can to the other and staple it in over there. Then you do it on the top, and then you do it on the bottom, stretching it as tight as you possibly can. And you just go around doing this until you have a complete surface that's flat and very tight. Basically, you're trying to create something like a drum. So you're stretching this canvas, you're stretching it as hard as you can, trying to get a good surface, a surface that will respond to the paint. Now, once you get this surface, you're still not ready to paint. You have to prime the canvas. So what you do is you take a primer, like gesso, and you would paint over this. Basically, what it does is it seals all the canvas so you can hold the paint. And once you let it dry, you take the sandpaper and you scratch it all out. You scratch out all the imperfections so you have a nice, smooth surface. And then you do that again. And you do it again. You do this until you have a good canvas that's nice and smooth and ready to be painted on. To me, this really kind of shows some of the trials that we go through in our Christian lives. God has to prepare us before he can work with us. He has to do what he needs to do to us so we can be ready to respond to his brushstrokes. In Acts 14:22, it says, "Through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God." I think that this kind of shows that some of this tribulation and trials that we have to go through in order before to be worked with. Next in our process, we have the question of, what are we going to paint? We have this canvas. It's ready. Let's paint on it, right? But what? What are we going to paint? Why? What's the concept? What's the message that we're trying to get across? What style are we going to be painting in? These are all things that are part of the process, and these are all things that are thought of before the canvas is even touched with that paintbrush. So, as you can see, if God is this master artist, he has to prepare us, he has to try us, he does all these things so he can turn us into one of these masterpieces, and there's a lot of things that go into it before he does this. And I think it's important to note that we're all at different stages here. You know, some of us might be more completed paintings, while others still might be being worked on, still being stretched as a canvas, so to speak. You know, so we might just be in different stages. Now, when you actually start painting, it just doesn't all come together all perfect like you might like it to. It's really, as Edgar Degas said, who was a fantastic French painter, said, art is really a battle. And that's really the way it is. You have to, you put things down on the canvas, and once it's there, it's there. You have to work with it. So you might have to move things around. You might have to shift things. You might have to adjust it. You have to form a sort of dialogue with your painting. You know, that might mean actually yelling at your painting, but that's not what I mean. It's more of an actual working with it, the giving and taking, the pushing things around, adjusting color, seeing what's on there and working with it. And, you know, and this is what we have to do with our Christian lives, too. We need to be working with God and allow him to work with us. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. I think we have it. In verse 18, we have an interesting point here. Isaiah 1, chapter 18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as like crimson, they shall be as wool." I think this is interesting. It says, let us reason together. To me, that kind of talks to this whole process of painting and working with one, what's out there. It's reasoning, going back and forth. And it also talks about the color shifts. You know, as your sins may be red as scarlet, he's going to make them white as snow. He's going to see those imperfections, and he's going to help us change them and make them into what will be beautiful for that masterpiece. So we need to be able to have that dialogue, be able to repent, see those changes that we have that we need to make in our lives so he can work with us and make those changes. Another point when looking at painting, this whole process, is that of perspective. It's good to take a step back every once in a while and get the right perspective so you can see the whole piece of work. Now, Monet is probably one of the most well-known Impressionist painters, and I had an opportunity to see some of his water lily paintings in New York a few years ago. And one thing I was impressed about was the size of these paintings. They were massive. The ones I saw were, the canvas was actually larger than me. And when you stand right up next to it, looking at it, it's just a mess of paint. And when you step across the room and look at it, it's an absolutely beautiful painting. You know, that can be very much like our life. You know, we can get caught in the details, we can be on these little tiny things, and we can look at our life and we might feel like it's just a mess of paint. We need to step back and have that perspective and see that there is a bigger picture, that God is in charge and he is putting together a beautiful painting that we can't see all the time. You know, and a great time to do that is the Sabbath, a time where we can step back, get that proper perspective, that focus, and make sure that our eyes are on the right goals. When we do this, you know, we can also see where God has been working in our lives. It's a good thing to do. Now, when the artist is finished with the painting, which many will tell you they almost never are, and that's also very common with our Christian walk, you know, we're comparing for our constant pursuit to be like Christ, always seeing where we're falling short and trying to achieve those things. But when a piece is finished, each one is beautiful and unique. It's different. Each one has its own story, just like you and just like me. And you know, the thing is, the artist, he knows the story behind each one of his paintings. And each one definitely has a story. He knows which parts were hard, which were the strong triumphs. The artist knows these details. You know, what was easy? What had to be painted over? What really had to be moved around? What was the real struggle with that piece? God knows those things, just as he knows those things in our lives. He knows us. We can look in Luke 12 and verse 7. He says he knows the numbers of hair on our head. So he knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. He knows our stories, and he knows what it takes to make us that masterpiece. Finally, if we turn over to Philippians 1 and verse 6. This is some words here that I always find very encouraging. Philippians 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he will finish it. He will perform that work. God has begun a work in us. He has started painting us. He's trying to turn us into that masterpiece, and he will finish it. Like Degas said, art can be a battle. You know, it's like it's not easy all the time. It's work, but this is a promise from God that we can be confident in. That he has begun that good work in us and he will finish it. You know, we may be in different stages, but we're all going to become absolutely beautiful paintings. So brethren, we need to trust in God. We need to realize that he is that master artist. You know, we can see that every day just looking outside, and that he is working with us, and that he is going to finish that work that he has started with us, and he is going to turn us into a beautiful masterpiece. He has thought it all out. He's gone through the process. He knows what it takes. We need to be sure that we have a strong dialogue with him, that we're talking with him, we're receptive to his changes, and that we are trying to allow him to work in our life. If we can do these things, he will turn us into that beautiful masterpiece, one that can and one that will be an inspiration and an example to the whole world.